ExxonMobil's corporate culture prescribed very careful action, as Davies put it. This meant that Irving executives would be slow to react to Greenpeace's provocations and accusations, and when they did react, their responses would often be so heavy-handed that they would only reinforce the Greenpeace message. They basically held their ground, Davies said. They didn't give an inch on the policy. They didn't try to moderate their voice at all. Greenpeace and allied researchers filed Freedom of Information Act requests seeking documents about early corporate contacts between major oil companies and the Bush administration. Davies already knew that ExxonMobil funded small think tanks and science policy groups in Washington that issued reports and statements arguing that climate change was unproven and of no public concern. The documents produced to Greenpeace under the FOIA request turned up additional briefing memos and PowerPoints prepared for the White House by ExxonMobil lobbyist Randy Randall and the corporation's astrophysicist Brian P. Flannery. Gaps and uncertainty in observations and scientific understanding of critical climate processes limit current ability to predict the rate and consequences of future climate change, Flannery wrote in a March 2002 memo. An accompanying PowerPoint urged the administration to avoid near-term caps on CO2 emissions and expand nuclear energy. The Bush White House did not require ExxonMobil's bullet points to adopt these recommendations. A majority of the president's cabinet and the Republican leadership in Congress already shared many, if not all, of Lee Raymond's views. Davies and his Greenpeace colleagues believed, however, that the documents they discovered established some degree of cause and effect, that ExxonMobil and other politically influential fossil fuel companies had, in effect, through their campaign contributions, purchased the Bush administration's climate policies, and then reinforced this achievement by sowing public doubts about climate science through the systematic funding of proxy think tanks. ExxonMobil had, in fact, self-consciously invested in the dissemination of doubt about climate change. Under Lee Raymond, ExxonMobil had persistently funded a public policy campaign in Washington and elsewhere that was transparently designed to raise public skepticism about the science that identified fossil fuels as a cause of global warming. ExxonMobil ran some aspects of its campaign clandestinely, that is, it did not initially disclose the full scope and purpose of contributions it made. ExxonMobil's opponents were guilty of lumping together the corporation's support for small, havoc-making groups focused heavily on climate issues with ExxonMobil's support for legitimate, well-established conservative and free market research institutes such as the Cato Institute for Public Policy Research, the American Enterprise Institute, and the Heritage Foundation. What distinguished the corporation's activity during the late 1990s and the first Bush term was the way it crossed into disinformation. Even within ExxonMobil's K Street office, a haven of lifelong employees devoted to the corporation's viewpoints and principles, an uneasy recognition gathered among some of the corporation's lobbyists that some of the climate policy hackers in the ExxonMobil network were out of control and might do shareholders real damage in ways analogous to the fate of tobacco companies. The more it went on, and the more Greenpeace and other activist groups exposed ExxonMobil's more clandestine investments, the more it became clear that the corporation was taking on risk. If ExxonMobil were ever judged in a courtroom to be cooking science to appease Raymond's personal beliefs about warming issues, it could be devastating. The corporation was not alone in its support of fringe activists on climate, but it persisted longer than many other business groups and individual Fortune 500 corporations vulnerable to carbon pricing. The available record suggested that ExxonMobil was more aggressive than all but a handful of peer companies during this period, despite the fact that the corporation, because it produced no coal, did not belong to the industry's most vulnerable sector. Raymond regarded the groups he supported as entirely legitimate participants in mainstream scientific debate. The credibility of this claim seemed increasingly doubtful, however. Science published a review of 928 peer-reviewed papers on climate science published during the late 1990s and the first Bush term. None of the papers, the survey's author found, disagreed with the consensus position about the probable man-made causes and dangerous trajectory of climate change, an assessment Raymond and his allies rejected. ExxonMobil funded a few institutions that supported the consensus position on climate science, but the corporation's allied chaos stirrers in climate science advocacy were more aligned with James Inhofe, the United States Senator from Oklahoma, who asked on the floor of the Senate in 2003, "With all of the hysteria, all of the fear, all of the phony science, could it be that man-made global warming is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people? It sure sounds like it." These investments in skeptics of the scientific consensus coincided with what at least a few of ExxonMobil's own managers regarded as a hypocritical drive inside the corporation to explore whether climate change might offer new opportunities for oil exploration and profit. One of ExxonMobil's most accomplished earth scientists, Peter Vail, had won acclaim for his insights into how changes on the Earth's surface affected ocean levels and other geological shifts. Vail had developed a calculation known as the Vail curve to describe some of these ocean events. In the ExxonMobil upstream division in Houston, scientists in charge of finding new deposits of oil and gas began to explore whether Vail's scientific insights might give them a leg up in exploration by allowing them to predict how climate change, if it did materialize, might alter surface and ocean trends and lead the corporation to new oil finds. "So don't believe for a minute that ExxonMobil doesn't think climate change is real," said a former manager involved with the internal scientific review. "They were using climate change as a source of insight into exploration." This work remained unpublicized.